The Character Sketch of Long. Introduction. Eugene O'Neill's The Hairy Ape is an expressionistic play. In expressionistic play, only a few characters are introduced and they too have their limited roles to play. Their only purpose is to highlight the central figure, who is Yank in The Hairy Ape. Long represents the intellect, while the other stalker, Paddy, stands for the emotion. In this way, Yank becomes representative of action and Long plays the part of his foil as well as complement. Like other stalkers, he too is hairy-chested with long, strong arms. His eyes are small, fierce, and resentful. He is drunkard who waits for proper opportunity to stress his viewpoint. As a stalker, his practical wisdom. Long fears that stalkers will never pay attention to his speech. He makes his first appearance as a speaker in the middle of those stalkers who believe in drinking and working without thinking. Ha ha ha, drink, don't think, drink, don't think, drink, don't think. They work hard and to get rid of tiredness, drink in excess and sing for whiskey. One of them grows sentimental and begins to sing of his beloved and home. Yank grows angry, for he does not approve this sentimental viewpoint. Yank's rebuking makes all stalkers silent. Long thinks at this moment, if he supports Yank, no stalker would be able to challenge him and he would have an opportunity to express his theory of class conflict before them. Next heading, his theory of class conflict. Yank's speech encourages Long to express his views. He approves Yank's viewpoint that the ship is like the home to the stalkers. He reminds that Yank regards the ship as hell, where they have to work in adverse circumstances. It too is correct. Here they work in utmost miseries, but who should be blamed for it? According to the Holy Bible, all are born free and equal. But in practice, they find that the rich travel in luxurious cabins of the ship, while the poor workers sweat working hard in the stokehold. They are deprived of fresh air. They have to breathe in coal dust. The capitalists are responsible for the miseries of the labor. Listen here, comrades, Yank here is right. He says that his stinking ship is our home. A says that home is hell. And he is right. This is hell, comrades, and right enough we will die in it. Ragging, and who's their blame? I ask you. We ain't. We wasn't born this rotten way. All man is born free and equal. That's in the bleeding Bible, Matties. But what did they care for the Bible? Damn lazy, blotted swine that travels first cabin. Damn the ones. They dragged us down till we are on the wage slaves in the bowels of a bloody ship, sweating, burning up, eating coal dust. Hits damns their blame, the damned capitalist class. But Long is interrupted by hooting. Voices, turn it off, shut up, sit down, close the face, damn fool, etc. Next heading, his ineffectiveness. Long's speech proves ineffective, for none else is intellectual enough to follow his viewpoint that the modern society is dominated by capitalists who regard workers as inferior to their natural slaves or pet animals. Yank asks Long to keep silence. He does not prove the idea that the capitalists are responsible in any way for the miseries of the working class. He blames Long for speaking like a socialist leader to popularize the Salvation Army. He asks Long to address a public meeting in a park instead of the stock hold of the ship. According to him, Long is a coward who accuses others for his own suffering. In his opinion, the rich traveling in cabins of the ship have to do nothing with the miseries of stokers. Yang claims that stokers are better than those rich passengers. One of the stokers is stronger than all of them, but none of them can even bear to spend a minute in the heat of the stokehold. If he enters, he would grow faint and a stretcher would be required to take him out. It proves that stokers are superior to the rich travelers. These rich men are no better than a useless load on the ship. The ship is driven by the force of brave stokers. They make the ship run. They belong to the ship. It does not belong to cowards like Long who have no spirit to work. Who makes this old tub run? Ain't it us, guys? Well then, we belong, don't we? We belong and they don't. That's all. As for this being hell, oh nuts, you lost your nerve, that's what. This is a man's job, get me? It belongs, it runs this tub. No stiffs need apply. But you are a stiff, see? You are yellow, that's you. Thus, Long's viewpoint does not impress anybody. Next heading, his success. Long gets success in impressing Yank after Mildred's visit to the stokehold. While Paddy makes a fun of it, Long utilizes the opportunity for his intellectual purpose. He knows at this time Yank is hurt and may well be influenced. According to Long, Mildred's visit was with a great purpose. His father is a big capitalist. He makes the half of the steel in the world. He is the owner of the ship on which they are employed. In this way, all of them are not more than petty slaves to them. Being his daughter, Mildred had inspected the ship and the stokehold to know how her slaves work there. To her, the slaves are like animals whose sight amuses children and ladies of romantic nature. In fact, Long intends to break Yank's illusion that they belong to the ship. He means to say that the ship is private property of Mr. Douglas and Yank is merely a slave there. In the eyes of the masters, he has no value. They regard him as an animal instead of a man. Here, Long gets an opportunity to prove his theory of class conflict based on the idea that for all miseries of the labor, the capitalists are responsible. Your old man's a bleeding millionaire, a bloody capitalist. He's got enough bloody gold to sink this bleeding ship. He makes half of the bloody steel in the world. He owns this bloody boat, and you and me, comrades, we are his slaves. And the skipper and mates and engineers, they are his slaves. And she's his bloody daughter, and we are all her slaves too. And she gives her orders as how she wants to see the bloody animals below decks and down they takes her. Yank is deeply shocked after knowing that Mildred regarded him as a hairy ape. Now he begins to believe in Long's theory of class conflict that capitalists are responsible for the miseries of poor workers. Yank decides to take revenge from Mildred. For the purpose, Long takes him to Fifth Avenue. Yang thinks Mildred would be there. Long tells Yang that he has brought him there to show how the capitalists lead a luxurious life. In fact, it is not a personal matter between Yang and Mildred. It is a much higher issue, an eternal conflict between the labor and the capital. Yang represents poor workers and Mildred or her father Douglas stands for capitalist. Long intends to make Yang conscious of this class conflict. In this conflict, all workers stand at his back just as all capitalists support Douglas. It is not a duel between two individuals, but a war between two classes. Ain't that why I brought you up here to show her? You been looking at this here whole affair wrong. You been acting and talking if it was all a bleeding personal matter between you and the bloody cow. I want to convince you that she was on you a representative of her classes. You have got to fight not her alone. There's a whole mob of them like her. God blind them. Long tells him that at the time people are at church, they wait for their return. In the meantime, they visit the shop of ornaments. Yang is surprised to see how costly things are sold there. He has never thought that people could have so much money with them. One thing costs enough to provide food to a starving family. When he visits the fur shop, he finds there a monkey's fur for $2,000. It enrages Yang and makes him to resolute to take revenge. Next heading, as an advisor. Long is a wise man. He is afraid of Yang's rashness to ask Yang to act wisely, otherwise people would arrest them and their purpose would fail. He ought to take all easily and keep his anger controlled. Violent force does not bring about success. It is defeated by wisdom. It is wisdom to highlight the demands to secure popular support. It is a peaceful constitutional method. Democratic means are strengthening the labor class day by day. By winning more and more seats in elections, real power can be attained. Easy goes, comrade. Keep your blooming temper. Remember, force defeats himself. It ain't our weapon. We must impress our demands through peaceful means. The votes of the on-marching proletarians of the bloody world. But Yang calls him a coward and asks him to get away. Long leaves him alone. Next heading, Long, Yang and the Hairy Ape, an analogy. It is interesting to note how greatly Long's action is similar to Yang's action. What Long does with Yang is repeated by Yang with the hairy ape. Long has a mission to strengthen the cause of the working class by opposing the capitalist. Long is weak, but Yang has tremendous power. Long thinks if Yang cooperates him, they can be a great unified force on account of a rare combination of intellect and physical power. He succeeds in filling Yang's mind with thoughts of class conflict, leading to hatred for the capitalist. To make Yang an ardent supporter of his theory, Long brings him to Fifth Avenue, but here Long loses control over his comrade and Yang does not whatever he wishes. Long has to go away. What he gets at last is utter disappointment. Yang too has the same fate. He believes The hairy ape is his brother, and with his help he would be able to destroy all steel works. He is not accepted anywhere in human society. In the beginning, the hairy ape seemed to be an abusive term to him, but now he takes pride in it and visits the monkey house at the zoo. He reaches the hairy ape and takes him to be his brother. Yank opens the cage and asks the hairy ape to come out of the cage to shake hands with him. He proposes to take the ape for a walk up to Fifth Avenue. He hopes the ape will help him in destroying all things present there. Yank knows there all things belong to capitalist. Thus, he will be able to take revenge with the help of the hairy ape. Yank, pardon from the governor. Step out and shake hands. I will take you for a walk down Fifth Avenue. We will knock them off on the oath and croak with the band playing. Come on, brother. The hairy ape disappoints Yank by hugging him so strongly that his ribs are crushed and a cry comes out of his mouth. The ape throws him in the cage and goes away in darkness. Yank realizes that the ape hugged him like Zabisco, a champion wrestler. Yank has no complaint against the ape's violent behavior. His heart is broken with the thought that even the ape does not accept him as his brother. It shows that Yank does not belong to him. Yank, say, the author match him with Zabisco. He got me, all right. I am trouble. Even him didn't think I belonged. The analogy enhances Long's importance in the play. The character sketch of Long is over.